the mic falls down.
Bundle home and auto and save with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
WEAN-FM Wakefield Peacedale. News, traffic, and weather begins now. On WPRO, Providence, a Cumulus station.
Significant fire overnight leads a person to try to escape with their life in Westport. Sports Celtics win. WPRO's weekend AccuWeather forecast. Quite a bit of sun over the next few days, but we do have some snow to contend with on Sunday. Good morning. I'm Doug Lizette. This is the WPRO News at 8 o'clock. Firefighters in Westport busy overnight with a house fire in the 200 block of Old Harbor Road. The Red Cross reports one adult was forced out by the fire. The shingle-style Cape looks to be a total loss. Woman died in a house fire on the Cape on Friday. Town of Burns says the fire happened near Monument Beach. It was engulfed in flames, the house was, when fire and police pulled up. The woman's body was found inside. Her name hasn't yet been released. The former superintendent of the Rhode Island State Police reportedly the subject of a new discrimination complaint involving the YMCA. WPRO's Paul Zangari reports.
Former Colonel Stephen O'Donnell, now CEO of the Greater Providence YMCA, slapped with a discrimination suit by the Y's former board chair. That's according to a Channel 10 report. Gail Corrigan, we're told, claims she suffered retaliation from O'Donnell after she reported allegations of harassment and discrimination against two other female Y staffers. Last month, Linda Dykeman and Karen Cooper charged O'Donnell with creating a hostile work environment at the Y by treating them differently than male staffers. According to the reports, Corrigan, let go in January, is complaining to the State Human Relations Commission that O'Donnell became confrontational when she offered to mediate, and that led to her removal. Paul Zangari, WPRO News.
President Trump isn't budging when it comes to his wiretap allegations against former President Barack Obama, though there still isn't a hint of anything to substantiate his claim. To add to this, the British Electronic Intelligence Agency, their version of the CIA, has denied an unverified report that Britain helped bug the Trump Tower. A spokesman for the White House, Sean Spicer, had mentioned a Fox News analyst's contention about this supposed British assistance. We're learning more about how an intruder got very close to the president last weekend. Here's correspondent Jessica Schneider with more on this unwelcome White House visitor.
According to a Secret Service source, video surveillance shows 26-year-old Jonathan Tran hopped a fence to the grounds at the northwest corner by the Treasury Building, then crossed East Executive Avenue. He jumped a gate near an unmanned guard post and walked along the driveway. Then Tran moved around to the south side of the White House through the First Lady's garden. He went undetected on the south side grounds for 15 minutes or more before finally being caught at the entrance to the residence just below the president's bedroom. President Trump was inside the residence.
Trespasser was arrested after spending nearly 20 minutes wandering freely about the White House grounds. Snow is forcing St. Patrick's Day parade organizers in Boston to cut their route short. Not the snow that's coming in overnight, of course. The parade is today, but the snow that was left over from the storm a few days ago. Organizers have told the Boston Herald that the traditional parade route through South Boston will be shortened so that there will not be such an opportunity for people to climb on snowbanks and get into other trouble as the parade passes by and down some narrow streets. Coming up, WPRO Sports, traffic, weather, and on the way next, intellectual medicine with Dr. Steve Pettirudi. WPRO News Time is 8:03.
Mid-State Gun Company is Rhode Island's premier public indoor shooting range. Our spacious facility offers 12 25-yard pistol, rifle, and shotgun lanes, a state-of-the-art clean air system, and the area's most extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Mid-State provides a wide selection of instructional courses, including Concealed Carry 101, offered each month. Concealed Carry 101 provides students with the legal advice needed to apply for the CCW permit, plus a certificate to qualify with our certified instructors upon completion. Call us today at 401-615-0669. Mid-State Gun Company, 1200 Tie Oak Avenue, Coventry, Rhode Island, and on the web at midstateguns.com.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Steve Pettirudi here in the studio live with Shannon. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
It's a great morning, isn't it?
It's wonderfully cold out there.
I like that. Good morning, Nick. How are you feeling back there, buddy?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Hey, Nick, did your check arrive yet from Gina Raimondo, your scholarship?
I am waiting with bated breath. I am telling you. I'm looking forward to all the things I can do with
showing
it.
Up.
Pay my car tax.
So think about how ironic it is that we'll have hardworking Rhode Islanders, recent high school graduates, paying their car tax to subsidize the welfare state that will evolve around the free college tuition kids. How's that a good thing? If you get a job right out of high school, you get nothing except for a tax that in part goes to subsidize free tuition of the kids. I got to get off that topic, but it does bother me immensely. Just a minute, it's just such a misguided, you know, good-hearted but misguided focus. Okay, in France, I'll say this one more thing, and then I'm going to move on, folks, I promise. So today we're going to be talking about confirmation bias, the concept of whose life is this anyway? Confirmation bias, whose life is this anyway? When it comes to medicine, these two factors intertwine to create an environment of coercion in some cases. Now, Shannon, we're going to be talking about that this morning. But first, congratulations, Shannon, another step forward in your brilliant career. You are now fully licensed as a nurse practitioner in the state of Rhode Island.
That's right. Finally, everything came in.
So you can do it all.
I can.
You can run Intellectual Medicine.
I can.
You can.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Does this mean I'm going to get fired?
No, come on.
Is that what happened when my locks didn't work the other day when I showed up?
Well, we're just, you know, we're practicing.
Yeah, practicing. So, you know, you make yourself dispensable, Nick, and this is what happens. Nick, my tip for you behind the booth, don't let anybody else know how to operate your equipment.
Exactly.
Make yourself indispensable. So confirmation bias. And, folks, we're going to be talking about medical marijuana today. Not only its clinical implications, but the state of its existence in Rhode Island. What are the economic factors, the practical elements? And we have as our guest, going by the pseudonym Marley, an expert in medical marijuana. He is one of the region, if not the country's, leading developers of medical marijuana products. There's nobody more skilled nor expert in his field than Marley.
I'd say you're passionate.
Passionate
really
is a good
is.
Word to use. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We've known Marley for a long time. He has helped many patients, and his reward for all of this is that he has to operate in the shadows, and we're going to explain why, and he's going to explain why, and it's going to be an enlightening conversation. But, you know, first we have to get to this. We actually have, Shannon, in our studio, right here, just a brilliant
oh my gosh.
New author. And I think
wow.
I think that it's incumbent upon you to introduce our new guest. New published author. Who are we talking about, Shannon?
Oh, maybe that's you.
Maybe. Maybe that would be me?
Maybe.
So anything that you want to know about my new book?
Anything I want to know about it. Why don't you tell the readers what it's about?
The book, folks, is called The Cancer Machine. It is my first fiction novel. It's available on Amazon. Right? How do they find that book?
It is. So you can just go on Amazon, just type in The Cancer Machine. We also have it on our blog, on our website, and, of course, Facebook. There's links to it.
Now, this is a fiction novel, and I got to tell you the backstory because I think it's interesting, and so it's my radio show, so I can talk about what I want, right? That's how this works. By the way, folks, our show, fully independent, we are Intellectual Medicine. We are fully independent. We take no sponsors. Our guests appear free. Having said that, we'll move on to my book. I guess in a way I'm sponsoring myself with this book, right?
So, you are.
Okay. All right, maybe I'm violating my own rule here. I don't know. No, The Cancer Machine, I started to write that 20 years ago. And when Shannon and I started seeing one another, God, this is 8 years ago, she picked up threads of the story, pieces of paper scattered about, and she began reading it and said, you know, this is good. You got to finish this. I want to know how it ends. And that, folks, is why I finished the book, because Shannon put it in front of me and said, you are not doing anything else until this gets completed. And now it's done cover to cover. It's about a brilliant medical student who makes it his passion and discovers a cure for cancer, a profound step forward. And the way that this gets introduced to the world and the way that the world reacts is the energy that drives this medical thriller. It's a fantastic read, a page turner. I'll leave it at that. We'll be talking more about it, and there'll be, in the future, book signings, correct?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
The big celebrity.
That's right.
Big time, baby.
The paper, the actual book will be in about 4 weeks, but the electronic copy is available now.
So you can start reading. Go there, and I think they can read the first two chapters for free, right?
They can.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I know you all didn't tune in to hear about fiction novels, and rest assured, my nonfiction book, Born to be Fat, is soon to come out, and that'll be followed by the nonfiction book, Intellectual Medicine 120, How to Live 120 Healthy Years. Well, to do that, folks, we've got to connect the dots. So what is confirmation bias, and how does it affect medicine and, by extension, affect you? And what about medical coercion? It turns out that confirmation bias is when you already have concluded an outcome and you are simply looking for validation. Two people can look at the same information and arrive at entirely different conclusions. A recent study was done on the drug Repatha. Evolocumab is the generic name. This is a drug that can lower your LDL cholesterol from 90, already treated, some people that were already treated with atorvastatin and other cholesterol drugs, all the way down to 30. Well, many in the medical community thought this would put an end to heart disease. It's going to obliterate cholesterol as a cause. And to their credit, Amgen, the manufacturer, put this drug to an outcomes result. Now, oftentimes in medicine, drugs come to the market by virtue of having an effect on numbers, such as cholesterol, without proven benefit to your health. In fact, in some cases, it can cause harm to your health. There was a drug, torcetrapib, that showed an ability to increase HDL. Well, HDL is the good cholesterol, and the presumption was that it would help you prevent heart disease. In fact, people were dying more quickly on the drug. An uncomfortable little detail that caused it not to come to market. Other drugs like Zetia, like gemfibrozole, have an effect on numbers, have never been shown to help prevent disease or heart attacks. So now comes Repatha, a once-a-day injectable drug that in the study did decrease heart attacks and strokes by about 15%. That's a good thing. It cost about $14,000 a year. This reduction was quite modest. So in confirmation bias world, people looked at that and said, great, it's an outcome, it's fabulous. The simplicity of current medical thinking is the correlation of one variable to a medical outcome. That is, let's pound cholesterol. Let's make it low, 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 and that's going to save heart disease. What does cholesterol do, and what might be the potential outcome of obliterating its level? Well, it turns out cholesterol is a precursor. That is, it's necessary to make neurotransmitters. These are the little things that make your brain go. It's also a precursor to your sex hormones. What would happen if you obliterated cholesterol below the threshold needed to maintain healthy levels of neurotransmitters and healthy levels of sex hormones? Might it accelerate dementia? Might it amplify depression? Might it increase the attributes of low hormones, such as bone atrophy? We don't know. These are open questions. It doesn't mean the drug's bad or shouldn't be used. It just means we need to go cautiously and with an open mind. It also means that there are multiple threads to the story. Now let's turn the page to chelation. We do this at Intellectual Medicine. We're the leaders in the region. It's an intravenous treatment, a mixture of vitamins and calcium EDTA that helps to leach out toxic metals and has been shown in studies to diminish the risk of death, stroke, heart attack, catheterizations, and all-cause complications in patients with known vascular disease above and beyond what conventional medicine can give. Now, that result was better than the result in the Repatha study. Confirmation bias. The reason many of you have never heard of chelation and your cardiologist recoils at its mention, perhaps, is because they don't believe it, and the study didn't change their mind. We have to highlight this because heart disease and stroke are still the number one killers. And our lifestyle contributes to that accelerated rate of premature heart disease. A patient in my practice had an HDL, Shannon, of 82. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think great. You're doing well.
In her early 50s, we did advanced studies looking at her arteries called a calcium score. Her calcium score was over 1,000. Her arteries were petrified like the petrified forest, full of calcium. Heart disease waiting to happen. It's because of this that we cannot rely solely on cholesterol numbers. We've got to look beyond. The advanced intellectual medicine approach is looking at the arteries directly. Another confirmation bias has to do with testosterone. We're going to come back to that, but we are going to introduce our guest after the break. We'll talk about at the end of the show the confirmation bias and the role of testosterone therapy. But when we come back, we'll be talking to Marley about medical marijuana. Stay tuned. This is Dr. Pedderudi with Shannon on Intellectual Medicine, WPRO.
I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy.
I am back. Little Eric Clapton. That Eric Clapton? That's Eric Clapton.
You know, they've got it in the system on me as Bob Marley. This is why you got to listen to it in queue.
We thought it'd be nice to leave it a little Bob. I love that song, though. You know, it's, I don't know. I don't quite get all the lyrics. By the way, we don't endorse shooting sheriffs.
No, we don't.
On the record.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a good song. Well, listen, we do have Marley on the line. But Marley, hang with us for a minute, because before we bring you in, I wanted to finish my thought on this whole confirmation bias. Why does a drug costing $14,000 a year make the cover of New England Journal of Medicine? And the tax trial, chelation therapy, gets buried. And Shannon, you brought up a very good point on the break. One has drug sponsorship with colossal profit motive. Colossal. We're talking billions with a B. Chelation therapy, folks, can't be patented. It's a bunch of vitamins. It's cheap. It's administered by doctors like me, who aren't really part of the club. And it can't be controlled by big pharma. The same holds true for intravenous vitamin C for cancer. Safe, non-patentable. Let me emphasize that in the study on chelation, zero complication rates, like nobody got sick, nobody got hurt. The same cannot be said for drug studies. We're going to go on. This is a common topic we're going to come back to because it has a lot to do with why science is moving faster than medicine. And medicine hates it. They don't like it when you do your own research. They don't like it when you come to them with fresh ideas. They want you to listen to their dogma. It's coercive, it is limited, and it corrupts and compromises your freedom. And speaking of freedom, that's a good note to bring in Marley. Good morning, Marley. Thanks for being with us. You're on Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pedderudi and Shannon.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Man, we're doing great. First, Shannon and I want to thank you for the great work you do for so many patients, so many people. And I can testify, I can vouch for the Shan, right? We've seen it firsthand.
We have.
The patients that Marley encounters are uniformly impressed by your professionalism, your expertise, and the help you render them. You got a great heart, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, he pays nothing to be on the show. He's volunteering his time, and he's going on a pseudonym because Marley operates in the gray zone of what is a very ambiguous environment. So I thought it'd help our listeners just to get an overview. What is it like out there in the world of medical marijuana? Let's start, Marley, with how does a caregiver, to explain to our listeners what a medical marijuana caregiver is.
A medical caregiver, is someone who takes care of their patients. They will grow for them. They will procure medicine for them. And from either the dispensaries, or they will most likely grow it themselves.
Now, how many patients can a medical caregiver take care of?
A caregiver can have 5 patients.
Okay. And how does an individual who has a medical marijuana card find a caregiver?
Well, most people, they have like a family member or a friend supply it for them or grow for them.
So it's a word of mouth thing.
Yes, but some people will actually go to places like RIPAC or at the dispensaries and ask for people to help them. I don't recommend this because I've heard so many horror stories of people that were introduced and then never got any medicine or were charged exorbitant prices for it.
Well, tell us about the dispensaries. What's the difference between what you do and what a dispensary does?
All right, well, a caregiver is tied to their patients. They can supply for them and them only.
Okay.
Whereas at the dispensary, they're allowed to grow unlimited amount of plants, deal with whoever they want to, and, you know, just deal with them. They're not really...
So they are a retail outlet
Yes.
engineered to produce and sell medical marijuana to whoever shows up with a card.
Pretty much.
Right. So here I am. I've got my card. I walk into the dispensary, and I present it to the folks there. How do they know what to give me?
Well, they're going to act on what you tell them, what you have for an illness, and they're going to try to help you that way.
And are these people certified? Is there a training program that one has to go through to become an employee at a dispensary?
Not that I know of. A lot of people, from what I understand, don't really know about the medicine, what would be good for what different illnesses.
Right, right. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I'm a board-certified family physician, and I've lived through the evolution of medical marijuana. And this was imposed upon medicine from above. This came from the State House. Isn't that right, Marley?
Yes.
The State House decided they were going to practice medicine, and they decided medical marijuana was a net benefit, and they decided that the Department of Health would be forced to administer this program, and the Department of Health oversees it. I believe that's correct, too, don't they?
Yes, them and the Department of Business Regulation.
Right, so you've got state bureaucracies practicing medicine as an extension of the State House, and
right.
Here I am sitting in my office. And I got to write the card. Now, listen, I've written the card because I think it helps patients. But we get no particular training as physicians and providers, as a nurse practitioner. Shannon, did you get lectures about medical marijuana?
No, nothing.
We don't know
doses. No.
We don't know the ingredients. Basically, it'd be like writing a ticket and saying, this is your ticket for OxyContin. I don't know anything about it. Just go to the store and work it out with the proprietor.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Unbelievable. But well, now, tell us how you acquired your expertise. You've been at this a long time, and you're nationally acclaimed for your skill.
Well, I've been growing and making oil and edibles for over 30 years. Been a lot of trial and error, a lot of research, and a lot of experiments.
So a lot of this is sweat equity. It's OJT, on-the-job training.
Exactly.
Now, this is a growing industry, is it not?
Yes, it is. This is going to be huge. It's already huge, but it's going to be worth so much in the next couple of years.
We're talking billions.
Billions.
And we're talking jobs, right?
There's so many jobs out there right now in this industry.
Now, can you get a job if you go to CCRI, major in marijuana? Can that happen?
No.
How about if I got a scholarship from Gina Raimondo? Would I get a job coming out of URI in medical marijuana?
No.
And where did you get your degree in medical marijuana? What college did you go to?
I actually went to the Cannabis Career Institute for like a day. And everything that they taught me, I already knew. So I could have actually taught them stuff.
I got you. So these high-paying jobs of the future are not to be found through the college pathway. Interesting. Listen, can you stay with us? We need to take a break, Marley. But when I come back, I want to talk about to our listeners what they should consider using, when, and how. I am Dr. Pederuti, and up next, Doug Lizette at the WPRO News Center.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Join Dr. Pederuti as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pederuti.
Hello, everybody. I am back. We'll be back with Marley in one moment. But first, we want to highlight a couple of exciting things happening in your beautiful state of Rhode Island. It is a glorious weekend. No better place to be. And happy St. Patrick's Day and happy St. Joseph's Day. Right? St. Patrick was famous for, what did he do? He drove the rats out of Ireland or something with his flute? What are you, the patron saint?
I have no idea.
No, right? That's what
I
he
really,
did.
Really?
I believe he did. Now, listen, if there's a listener out there who knows his history, I believe it was St. Patrick who played music, and all the rats followed him and plummeted to their death into the ocean. And I think that's his myth.
And that's why everyone drinks today. What does that have to do with it?
Well, they were so happy that they could get drunk and fall asleep and not worry about rats eating their toes while they slept. So that was a good thing. But what did St. Joseph do to become the patron saint of Italy?
He baked really good things.
Now, you know what I think he did? I think he played a flute and let all the Irish out of Italy. I think that's what he did. But it's a beautiful time to celebrate our collective, integrated multicultural heritages. It's just a glorious thing. So everybody embrace each other in the moment. It's a great weekend. And URI, right, Nick? Kudos to them. They're in the NCAA.
Absolutely.
Moving on
a
to
big one.
So they beat Creighton. I was very happy for that.
Yeah, they were actually favorites in that, even though they were the 11 seed and Creighton was the 6 seed.
Well, everybody knew URI's on a roll here,
yeah.
Right? They're healthy, and they play Sunday. Do you have any idea what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And listen, kudos are going out to our own Tony Mascara from WPRO being inducted into the Rhode Island Radio Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Now, Nick, you have some backstory on Tony. He used to do...
Back when he was in college, he used to be TM in the PM on Pro FM. And that's what he's
TM
been,
in the PM.
He's been kind of bouncing around. He's doing some light rock stuff now. So you'll hear his voice more and more on the radio now.
Well, congratulations,
big
Tony.
Old congratulations to Tony.
Hey, Shannon, I like that kind of like moniker, right? TM
in
the PM.
Oh, no, don't even think about it.
Maybe we should do something a little more jazzy, right?
Jazzy?
Yeah, I am 120 with SNS.
Oh, my. Oh, no. No. No, Nick, don't ever do it. Don't.
We need to bring Marley back. And stay with us, folks. We're going to wrap up the show. We're going to be talking about testosterone, its benefit and risk at the very end. Very important information. Hey, Marley, are you still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so here we are. What is the most common thing that you see clients seeking care for?
Well, I have people that I take care of that have MS, cancer, diverticulitis.
All right, so would you say that you see more... How about pain, just chronic pain?
Yes.
Okay.
That's probably the most common.
All right. Now, tell us the difference... let me ask this question. THC is the component of marijuana that causes the altered mental status. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
That has the psychoactive effect.
Psychoactive effect. Thank you. Now, you can manufacture it in a way that either eliminates or minimizes that, can't you?
Well, what it is, it depends on the material that we start with. Because
right.
Most cannabis is high in THC and low in CBD.
Right. So let me build a bridge over the technical part of it for you, though. You have at the end of your manufacturing process, depending on what products you pick, the ability to deliver a product that has lower levels of THC.
Yes.
So in other words, folks can use this, manufacture it in a way... If you're an elderly individual with chronic pain, you don't have to worry about being in a psycho stupor.
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
You can use straight CBD, cannabidiol.
Okay.
You can actually find plants that have a very, very high in CBD,
right,
which have virtually no THC in them.
So CBD, for our listeners not familiar with it, is a component of the plant that has therapeutic value but does not have the psychoactive component. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Now, how much of your business, what percentage of it is CBD-centered?
I'd say probably 40%.
So nearly half of what you do is without the THC. Now, when you get those prescriptions or those cards, the doctors don't have any idea whether it's THC or CBD. They don't know how to direct the patient.
Correct. Most patients are able to just dose themselves, or if they have somebody like me that is able to dose them by looking at their body weight, knowing their amount of cannabis.
Right. So you can help guide the dosing. You can help. In fact, if a client of yours is having an adverse effect, they can call you up and say, "Hey, I'm not feeling good," and you can analyze a problem and help adjust.
Exactly.
And this
we
is.
Also,
go ahead.
We can also compound certain ratios of THC to CBD also, depending on a patient's needs.
Okay.
They might only need a little bit of THC and more CBD, or vice versa.
Right. Now, an oil is manufactured. Marley, is the oil something that they rub on their skin?
You can use it as a topical, but depending on what your illness is, like for cancer patients, and most patients ingest it orally.
Okay, so the oils are manufactured most often as an edible form.
Yes.
So they don't have to smoke it. They don't have to worry about pipes and paraphernalia. They can just take it as a candy.
Yes. Yes. You can put it. You can take it. Put it on in anything. Pretty much.
Now, is the THC an important part of its medicinal value, or is it more the CBD?
The CBD is more the medicinal value, but they both work in conjunction together.
So the THC can have a niche, but the CBD is more therapeutic in many cases.
Yes.
This is utterly fascinating, Shannon. Did you know this?
I know. I haven't known any of this.
Yeah.
No.
You know, and unfortunately, Marley, it seems to me that the medical marijuana program has, to a degree, a reputation as being a cheap way for people to get high. Because some people using these cards simply to get their weed.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's no way to discriminate one from the other.
No, most people do have legitimate issues and do need them.
Right.
But, you know, there are the few that really don't need them.
Now, tell us about these dispensaries. These are not-for-profit centers that are strictly there for the humanitarian good. Not-for-profit, they're kind of like Catholic charities. Isn't that about right?
They're just there.
How come you don't own a dispensary, Marley? I mean, nobody's more expert at it than you. Can't you get together with a couple of investors and open up a dispensary?
Yeah, that'd be nice in Rhode Island, but
so what's stopping you? Why not do that?
Because I'm not part of that whole upper class plan that is involved in that.
I don't understand. What's this upper class brand you're talking about?
Well, the Slater Center is owned by ex-cops and judges and people from law enforcement.
Yes.
And how wrong is that, that over all the years, all the people that they threw in jail for possession of marijuana, and now they are legally selling it, and they're trying to take over the entire Rhode Island medical marijuana program.
So they want to control the market.
They want to control everything. They do not care about the patients. How can they actually charge a patient over $400 for an ounce.
$400 for an ounce.
Of garbage. When they can go on the street and get it from somebody else for between $150 and $200 of better quality.
Now, are you familiar with the incident with a pot club owner in Providence, the Warren retired firefighter? His name is Patrick Ramachaitis. Ramachaitis is how I can best pronounce it.
I just read about that.
Yeah. And he was arrested for marijuana distribution, and he's a caregiver.
In my eyes, all that was the state putting their finger down, trying to put one more person out of business, so all those people that he was helping have to go to the dispensary.
Yeah.
That's all it's about in this state.
This concerns us gravely at Intellectual Medicine, and it has to do with freedom and the freedom of individuals to choose the manner in which they're going to receive their care.
Well, the state set him up. They sent somebody in there.
Well, you know what? Let's do this, though. Let's not go down that pathway. I think that's yet to be adjudicated. And I can't speak to the details of this case. I only know what I read in the paper, which is very little. But both you and I can appreciate the landscape that's evolving, where we've got dispensaries that are open by people that are well-financed, politically connected, hiring lobbyists that are opening up. And can you see my quotes floating in the air? Not-for-profit, right?
Yep.
Making crazy money, cash money pouring in. And you've got and they can hire whoever they want.
Yep.
There are no regulations. There's no training. There's no expertise required. Any muckety-muck off the street. Oh, if you happen to be the second cousin of somebody who's connected, it doesn't hurt. And now you're working at the dispensary, not-for-profit, driving company cars, making six- and seven-figure salaries for people paying all this dough. And yet, a caregiver such as yourself, you're not allowed to charge any money. You are.
No.
There's a law against you and people like you charging money.
Right. So we're supposed to do it all for free.
Yeah.
And you know, we take the bite. We're helping somebody, but we're supposed to pay all that. And then we can't anymore. When we run out of money or whatever,
yep.
then, they expect us to go.
Well, they want you to go broke. In my view, folks, the dispensaries are politically connected.
Yep.
And they are manipulating the law and using the state and local police to crush the competition. I was talking, Marley, with Steve McCartney, our chief of police in Warwick. A better public servant there is not to be had, more honest and direct. And he shared with me the chaos of this law, the great difficulty that they're having interpreting it. You know, who is breaking the law and who isn't? It's a poorly written and poorly structured delivery. However we feel individually about medical marijuana, the manner in which it's been constructed, folks, is ripe for corruption. You've got a select few being able to open dispensaries by given a grant from the state or permission from the state. To me, that's a recipe for disaster. Marley, your work is brilliant. And I know I can speak, right? How many millions have you pocketed so far, Marley? Are you rich yet?
Well, you know, I have my helicopter in the backyard.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to take that to New York and hop on my private jet and fly over to somewhere over in Asia for a couple of weeks, you know?
Well, Marley, thanks for being with us on the radio show. We know that we had to protect your identity because you could be a target for retribution. He works hard, folks. He works honestly. He makes no money. That's Marley talking medical marijuana. Hope you come back, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. I'm Dr. Pettirudi. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with some thoughts on medical marijuana, on testosterone, on living to 120. This is WPRO. I'm here with Shannon and Nick. We'll talk in a moment.
WPRO and the Comedy Connection in East Providence presents a night of stand-up comedy to benefit Hasbro Children's Hospital. Join us next Thursday night, March 23rd, for some fun, laughter, and prizes with Ray Harrington, along with Stephen Donovan and Amy Ponce. Help the kids at Hasbro Children's Hospital with this exclusive one-night event. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at 630WPRO.com. It's all from the Comedy Connection in East Providence and WPRO.
That's a wonderful thing. I'm back. It's Dr. Pettirudi, comedy to support the Children's Hospital. Hey, man, doesn't get in bed in that, does it?
It doesn't.
And that Comedy Connection is a nice little gem here in Rhode Island.
It is. It's an awesome place.
You know, that this is part of our mission, Shannon. We're here in intellectual medicine to make people live longer and live better. So we want to highlight little hidden attributes of Rhode Island. Maybe not so hidden, but you know, great things about living here. Listen, I've been all over the country. I had the privilege to serve in the military. Shannon, I know you lived in New Jersey for many, many years. You grew up there. Is there a better place in the country to live than this?
Yes, somewhere warmer.
Come on.
Anywhere warmer.
Okay. I think that's what's nice about it, is the change of seasons.
Yeah,
I love that about New England, honestly.
It is nice, but I'd
that's just me.
Like a month of like snow, and then that's it. And then
a
it's
month
70.
Of snow and that's it.
It's 70, snow 70.
Okay, folks, anybody can dial in with that climate for my wife, please do. Shannon would like 1 month of snow and then 70 degrees the other 11 months.
That's right.
I think there's a mountain on the top of Hawaii.
There's like too much to ask for that.
It might be a little bit much. It's a gorgeous state. Any other little gems you want to highlight? Folks, you know, we're going to call that our gem highlight. I just made up a new thing, Shan. Our gem highlight. You can call in WPRO. They can. How do they contact us? At Intellectual Medicine.
For our gem highlights or...
For anything.
For
anything. Including gem highlights.
they can call us, of course.
Yeah, how do they do that?
They can... 401, if anyone has a pen right now. Who has pens anymore? 921-5934. They can go on Facebook, of course. Our website, im-120.com.
Or they can give Nick a call. Listen, we're looking for gems in Rhode Island. And last week we highlighted Airsoft down in Wakefield.
We do. Do you know what? There's a whole bunch of them. There's like 8 of them going again today. How great.
Yeah, what fun.
Airsoft Extreme. Yep.
So we highlighted that. We highlight. And by the way, folks, we get paid nothing by anybody for anything. And I want to highlight that because when we talk about something, it's because we discovered it. We believe in it. So give us your gems and we'll highlight them, right? Anyhow, back to our concluding thoughts. Medical marijuana in the state of Rhode Island is in a position of chaos, manipulation, and it's ripe for corruption. We call upon the state of Rhode Island and the Department of Health to improve this circumstance. You heard from Marley, who has to operate in the shadows because of conflicted and ambiguous laws that tilt the playing field against small operators dedicated to their patients in favor of politically connected, profiteering dispensary centers that are marking the product up higher than it needs to be for cash. Now, why not have this be a state-run entity like DMV? Let them control all the money. Let them control all the dispensing. That's one solution. On the other hand, let's let these caregivers have a fair position in the marketplace. Do not use the police to intimidate them. Allow them a reasonable profit margin so they can survive. I got to tell you, Marley lives hand to mouth. Absolutely. Just wondering where his next rent check is coming from. And he stays at it because he loves the results he sees his clients get. From the Department of Health, we need guidance and training. It's not enough to simply put out a piece of paper, have a doctor fill it out, and give them carte blanche. We should be trained in the proper dosing and parameters. A prescription should be written. What amount? How often? How much THC? Look, I can pick up a bottle of alcohol and know the proof. We should be able to have the same criteria with medical marijuana. We will circle back to this. This is an issue of intellectual medicine's concern regarding our public health. But before we turn it over to Tony DeJesus and the Big Blue Bug, I do want to highlight the ongoing information regarding testosterone in the NIH trial, looking at men on testosterone. Now, at Intellectual Medicine, we believe that hormone replacement is one of the four cornerstones of living a long and youthful life. But, folks, it has to be done thoughtfully and correctly. You cannot just make one dose and expect result. Now, in the study, they found, and we talked before about confirmation bias, they found that in men given topical testosterone gel, over 65, 51,000 of them, an improvement in mood, sexual function, sexual desire, erectile function, improvement in bone density, and improvement in hemoglobin or blood count. Their conclusion, it's not worth doing. How do you make such a conclusion with so much positive outcomes? Confirmation bias. You see, they don't believe in this form of care, and they start out looking for reasons to not like it. And they decide that if you're 65, you know, sexual issues shouldn't be a relevant feature anymore. Me, that's pompous. It's dismissive of patients' self-interest. At Intellectual Medicine, we know and we believe that sexual vitality is connected to life force and that you should be able to carry that to your grave. You should be able to celebrate that at age 100. Living 120 is a real possibility. Smearing on one dose of a prescription strength topical testosterone is primitive, inadequate, and not at all to the standard of intellectual medicine or the life extension movement. So you've got to be able to connect to providers who know what they're doing. We use combinations, injectables, topicals, including other things to support testicular function in men and in women. Without testosterone in women, their health and vitality will ultimately decline in an accelerated rate. So, folks, keep an open mind, keep tuning into intellectual medicine, and keep reading. The information is out there. You will not get it from conventional medicine. They are too busy clicking buttons on their computer to worry about you living to be 120. You know the first thing doctors worry about when they when you step in the room, Shannon, the first thing on their mind?
How long is this note going to be?
Exactly.
How long is it going to take me?
How quickly can I get this person out of here? And how many buttons do I need to click to make sure I get paid? Right, we'll talk about financial coercion going forward. But today's a feel-good day, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to turn it over, coming up next, to Tony DeJesus and the Big Blue Bug Solutions. Thank you to Nick behind the glass, our non-scholarship, hard-working, academically superlative intern. Shannon, great day. Congratulations again on your state license.
Thank you.
I know you're going to do great things for many, many patients. And thanks to Doug Lizette for his fantastic job on the news. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. Have a beautiful week.